Kulam Perek Aleph Mishnah Vov. The Mishnah continues with Posel Bazeh, Kosher Bazeh, Kosher Bazeh, Posel Bazeh. Something nothing to do with Maseches Chulin at all. Kosher Bepara, Posel Be'Eglo. There's two animals which are the same. One is called a Para. Para is a cow. An Eglo is a calf. Para Aduma, besides being Kule red, it also has to be a certain age. It has to be a Para. It has to be a mature cow. Eglo Arufa, which is brought when they find the dead body, Pasha Shoiftim, that has to be Dafka and Eglo. So they're both the same thing, but again, Kosher Bazeh, Posel Bazeh. Kosher Bapara, Posel Begla. Kosher Begla, Posel Bapara. Now the opposites of here are actually not referring to the age, but it's referring to the Maisa. The reason why the Mishnah singles out Para Aduma and Eglo Arufa from all other karbonis is because even though there's a givis kodesh to them, but both of them are not ba migdosh. The Par Adum is brought in Har Zeisim, overlooking the Harabayis. Eglo Arufa is found is to be neraf from the back of the neck. That's what Arufa is. Par is a regular shechita, and both of them are done outside the base of migdosh. This is done wherever they find the dead body. So he's referring to the ma'isa shechita as opposed to the ma'isa Arufa. What's kosher here is posel there. Kosher b'koyanim, posel alvim. Mishnah is b'kitz over here. You look at the Rav, and he says that the mumim that are problematic by a koyin are not problematic by a levi. The mumim that are posel by a levi are not problematic by a koyin. What are we referring to? A koyin is not allowed to be a balmum. If he's a balmum, he's posel avoida. However, if he's too old, he's allowed to do the avodah. A levi is only allowed to do avodah until the age of 50. But he doesn't have to be a sholim. He could be a balmum. Now, kohen a levi, we're talking about, let's say, tafkidma being shemer samigdosh. There's another avodah levim ha'usa, which is to sing. So that person has to have a voice. Kehanim, even if a kohen is tone deaf, he's certainly not posel avodah. That's another kosher bazeh, posel bazeh. So that's what the back and forth in the Mishnah is. There's another diun also, is that we just mentioned the age of 50 as being the upper limit of age that's kosher for Levim. You don't have the Bekahanim. Younger also, it's Mavur in the Torah, they could only work from 30 until 50. Bekahanim steht es nicht. Bekahanim don't have that psal. Tor b'klicheres, tome b'chol akelim. Tor b'chol akelim, tome b'klicheres. Also opposites. The difference between tumma, kabbalah's tumma, and a regular kli. You have a metal kli or a kli that's made out of wood. Lumas kli cheretz is that by a regular kli, the kli itself has value, has chshivus. Lumas kli cheretz, betzim it's made out of earth. It's made out of valueless raw material. It's just that it was formed with a kli kibul. A person makes a glass out of cheretz. The cheretz itself is worth nothing. It's only the fact that it has a kli cheretz, that it has a toich, that has a kli kibul, that gives it a chshivus. Therefore, it's all exas akosim, we're just explaining it. By kli cheres, the Torah was goyzer, that if a sheretz, or a person who's tamei, let's say tamei lames, or a zov, or a nid, or whatever it is, touches the outside of a kli, the outside of the kli is the kli. So it becomes tamei. By kli cheres, the outside of the kli is not mekabel tumah, because it has no chshivus. The only chshivus of the kli is only the ear space, the kibul of the kli cheres. Now this works both ways. The Torah was goyzer, that by a sheretz, if it's dangling and it's in the ear space of the klicheres, the ganze klicheres is mekabel tuma, both the inside and the outside, even though it never touched the klicheres. There's no such halacha by a regular kli. By a regular kli, it has to be noga, inside or outside. So the Mishnah says the two of them are opposites. Whatever is tummy here is tummy there. Whatever is tummy there is tummy there. The next contrasting peer is not all kelim versus kli cheres, but kli eitz versus kli matches. Kli eitz versus kli matches, the chiluk goes like this. Metal is a more precious and more important raw material. Eitz is just a simple piece of wood. It has more chashivus as a kli than kli cheres, which is only the toich and the kli kibul, which is mekabel tuma. Kli eitz, if it's formed into a kli, the kli does have chashivus. However, since be'etzem, the raw material is just a piece of wood, it's a natural piece. Metal is already a davar chashuv. if you have what's called pshute kliyetz, which means just a flat board, picture a cutting board made out of wood, so then that's not makabel tumah. It doesn't have yet the chshivus of a kli. It only has the chshivus of a kli if it's finished off, if it has a base kibul. Masheinga by a piece of metal, it's tumah even if it's a flat piece of metal. It has enough for chshivus to be rendered a kli. That's tohar b'kliyetz, tumah b'kli matches. However, tohar b'kli matochos, tumah b'kli eitz, this refers to another halach, and that is that what's called goylmei kli eitz, which means that it wasn't finished off yet, it's rough, it's not a finished product, is considered a kli by a piece of wood, because wood, the kelim that are made of wood, are usually simple and primitive in shape and substance. Therefore, even if it's not finished off, it already has a shem kli, a piece of metal. Until it was put into final form, it's not, it's made professionally. It has to be hammered or made by a blacksmith. It's made professionally. Therefore, if it's not finished, the fact that it's made to be in a choshev oifin means that if it's not a finished product, it's not makabel tum. Therefore, tor b'kli matchis, tomei b'kli eitz. The next contrast is hachayev b'shkedim hamorim poter b'mesukim. There's two types of shkedim, almonds. One of them, when they're fully developed, are morim, they're bitter. They're only eaten when they're small, because that's when they're not as bitter. The other type of almonds, which are sweet ones, fakert, they're bitter, and you want to eat something that tastes good, something that has a sweetness to it, you only eat them when they're fully ripened. So the shem pri, in which is totally the chi of maisvis, there's also a mishnah, by the way, in maisvis, because that's what it's negated to, is only when it has a shem pri, when it's roi lachila. So this type will only be roi lachila when it's shkedim gedalim, and this type will only be when it's shkedim gedalim. So apostle ozeh, chayv ozeh, potev ozeh. Mishnah Zayin, hatemed, ad shelo hichmitz, eine nikach bekesev meiser, upoisel samikva. Temed is water that's soaked in the leftover grapes, and it retains a certain taste of the wine of the grapes, but it's not wine. It's grape-flavored water. Eventually, if it sits, then it ferments, it's nischamet, and turns into like wine. Now, we're talking about where the temet is mostly water. If it's intense enough that it has mamash of flavor of wine, that nishdova sered, then it has din of yayin gomer. So we're talking about over here where it's pretty diluted. It doesn't mamish have a taste of wine. So hatemet, this water that had soaked the anovim, actually hichmitz, until it ferments completely, ene nikach b'kesem meiser. Kesem meiser is money that was nifter from peris meiser sheni. Pasuk describes in Parshas Re'eh that a yid who has meiser sheni doesn't have to carry up the whole produce to Yerushalayim. He can be paid on coins, there's certain limitations. Which type of coins and how to be paid? We have a whole Maseches Meiser Sheni about that. And then he carries the money and he could buy b'chol aves nafshecho, he could buy anything that's oichel. The Mishnah elsewhere, when wanting to describe what's called oichel, personal marshal says that he's not going to eat or drink today. What's called oichel? Anything besides water. Water is chayim itself, but it's not food. So therefore, the temed atchele hichmus is water. So emela eni nikach b'kesa maisa. Can't buy a bottle of water b'kesa maisa. Upoisel es hamikva, there has a din of water. If it has a din of water, let's say it's in a bottle, this temed. So it's mayim she'uvim. Mayim she'uvim means water that's not drawn into a mikvah from a natural source. If there's a certain amount of it before the mikvah is filled up, the basic structure of a mikvah is you have aboim so. And then you fill up the water. It doesn't have to be a little tiny hole. Then you fill up to make a proper mikveh. But first you have to have a bar with that shear. If before the mikveh is passed up, there's a certain amount of mayim she'uvim, the arichos of this is in mikvois, and it's also in the beginning of Idias. We had it back then. How much mayim she'uvim passes up? Three loikin of mayim she'uvim is a deraisa, derabona, the whole discussion about that. But a certain amount of mayim she'uvim passels up a mikveh. Even though afterwards you were mashlim the shir of aboyim sov, natural rainwater or spring water flowing into the place of the mikveh, it's still possible. It has to be first filled up with aboyim sov. The only water, if you pour grape juice in,
It's not water. Therefore, the temed, if it's still water, does have the din of mayim shuvim to pass lava mikvah. Mishehichmit, once it's nischam, it has a din of yayin, and therefore it's food, nikach bekesef maisa on the one hand, and on the other hand, since it's not water anymore, ene poisel sa mikvah. The same type of contract is ha'achen hashutvin, two brothers that are shutvin. Which means they yarshined from their father in estate, and they're shutvin now in it. Kishachayovim bekalboin, without getting into all the details, a kalboin is a coin that was used by machzis hashekel. That means machzis hashekel maseches shkolim. The basic premise, parshas kisisa, is that every yid every year gave a machzis hashekel as a hishtatvus in the korbanos of the Beis Hamikdash. That was Klal Yisrael's way of owning the korbanos. Now, what happens if two people want to give money simultaneously? It's a no-brainer. They don't have to give a machzis shekel, they give a shekel. However, every single person was moisiv. A shekel is a larger size coin. They were moisiv a small coin, a very small coin. It's called a kalbin. Kalbin is meloshin, being machriya, making something a higher sum. And the point is this. The point is that the weight weren't 100% accurate. So Mela, a person was giving a machzis shekel, there's a chash that's going to be worth a little bit less. In order to make sure he was mekayim the mitzvah, b'milui, Chazal instituted that every single person gives also a little tiny matbeah to push it over the edge, to be machriya. That's the lashon of kalboin. The halacha is this would only be if two people are giving one coin together, so then they'd each be mechuyev a kalboin. Or maybe they'd be chayev at least one kalboin. Masha'en kein, if you would have two brothers, it's considered one person really, because it's one estate, they're giving from the estate, it's like one person, the father, giving a whole shekel. So it's not a machzis shekel. So there's no chayev kalbin at all. More accurately said, two people giving together is two people giving. The case where there won't be a chiv to give is where Reuven is giving on behalf of Shimon, like a matana. So it's as if the father is giving a whole shekel on behalf of his two sons, and therefore there's no chiv kalboin. The question is, when do we look at two brothers, kila they're still be'etzim sitting by the father, and the father is giving for them? Right now the estate is owned by the brothers. So Mishnah sets up that there's two ways that brothers can be shutvin. Ha'achin ha-shutofin, brothers that are shutvim in the estate of the father. Kishechayovin be-kalboin p'turim imayse behemen. It means like this. It means if the brothers are just the yarshin from their father, so they're still called the tfusas abayis, which is the term that's used in Perek Yeshnoichin for the estate of the father before it's been divided up amongst the brothers. The way we see it in Lomdus is we see the father's estate with several owners. We don't see it as a regular shutvus where each one owns 50%. We see them all as partial owners of the estate. But it's really a bailus klali. Others taina, this is the only type of bailus where it's bedemit to a corporation, where there's no private ownership. Regular shutvus, even if 10 people own a business, a property together, it's not corporate ownership. That's 10 people that each have 10% of the business. Corporate ownership is about nobody really has personal ownership. It's a corporation. And people have a schus in the earnings or the holdings of the corporation. The brothers each have, their four brothers, they have a 25% stake each in the estate. But there's no private ownership. So therefore we see them as part of one conglomerate. It's really the father. So therefore, that would be a case when they're p'turim in a kalboin. In that case, we don't see them as shutvim, because we see it all as the father's estate. In that case, you chayv a ma'ase behema. Ma'ase behema is only a private owner, not shutvim. Therefore, achan ha-shutofim, kishechayovim be-kalboin, is already when the brothers already divided up the estate. Each one has his chelik, and now they decide to join up b'shutvim to run the business together. They've been working under the father, they know how to run, but be'etzim, they were regular shutvim. When they're chayom b'kalm, because they already became regular shutvim, then converse, p'turim b'maisa behema. Kishe chayom b'maisa behema, conversely, p'turim mina kalboin. The Mishnah goes weiter. Komokum sheyesh mecher ein knas, v'komokum sheyesh knas ein mecher. This Mishnah is a din where a young girl
has a period where she's a ketana, under the age of 12. A naira is from the age of 12 to 12 and a half, and a boigeres is from the age of 12 and a half until Misa. There's a din, and the Torah talks about a naira in several places. One of the dinim of a naira is that if somebody is ma'aneser by force, then he has to marry her and there's a knas to pay to the father. That din, that the father has a bailus in her, the father can marry off a naira, the same way the father can marry off a ketana. The father is mekabel knas of a naira. The Mishnah is assuming, this is one shita, this is known as shita Reb Meir, when you learn Perek El Naira, it's the third Perek in Ksubis. Only Reb Meir holds that a ketana in lo knas. Chacham hold no, ketana also have knas. This Mishnah is going to Reb Meir. So when she's a naira, she's of the age where there's a tvias knas. There's also halacha that the father has a right to sell his daughter as an omer yevriyah, with all the existing halachas in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim described in Maseches Kedushin, the first perek. Kamochem sheyesh mecher, when she's of the age that she has mecher, that the father could sell her, which is until bas mitzvah, until she's 12, ein knas, she can't, there's no tvias knas if somebody is ma'anasir. Kamochem sheyesh knas, if she's already 12, she's a naira. Ein mecha. So again, this is that, and that's not that. Kamochem sheyesh miun ein chalitza, v'kamochem sheyesh chalitza ein miun. Maseches Yevamos now, we're getting a little bit of a tour. Two ways that a woman who's tachas rishus of a man can leave. The regular context, of course, is marriage, kiddushin, nisuin, and gerushin. However, a ketana, the father can marry her off. She's married midaraisa, so she needs a regular get. If a father died and a young girl's left over a yisayma, her older brother or her mother, midrabonon, because of her welfare, instituted that there's issues midrabonon, except with one caveat. She can walk out on the issues until bas mitzvah. Again, the age that they can marry off is till 12. The age that she can walk out is called miun. To be mamayin means to refuse. She could refuse to continue in the marriage. She walks out, the marriage is batel l'mafreya. How exactly that works? Is it mamish l'mafreya? Or is it mikan labol l'mafreya b'loshna lomdim? Is a famous shmuz when you learn Perek Beis Shammai towards the end of Yevamos. Al-Kabonim, komokim sheyesh miun, ein chalitza. Where a girl could be mamayin, where she's less than 12, ein chalitza. Chalitza is a Yevama where her husband died, b'lib bonim. So she falls, she's skuka li'yibum to her brother-in-law. The halacha is that if she's less than 12, if she's a ketana, ein chalitza, can't be chalitza. The Torah doesn't say it mefurish. The Torah says, v'im lo yachbetz ho ish by yibum, then he's chalitz. Ish, the one who could be chalitz, is a godl. The pasuk then says, v'olso yevimte hashara, the Torah compares the yavam to a yavama, that the yavama also has to be a gedayla. The Rav brings the drasha. There is a mokim to falomdiva in this nekuda. Who's shafing the chalois of chalitza? The hafkoas haziko that frees the chalitza, then chalutza, then now she's free. She's muteres l'shok. Is it something like a gerushin that he shafts? A godel can be megarish a ketana. A woman who's a ketana can be mekabel get. You can put a get in her hand. Or you can put a get in her father's hand. Why? Because the husband does the gerushin. It's megarish bal kocho. But chalitza is the one who's doing the maisa, him. He's the chalitz. If anything, he's the passive one. The way chalitza works is he stands there and he has his shoe on the foot. And she does the maisa. She's carrying the pasha. She does the rekika, the spitting, and she pulls the shoe off. Does she shaft? Does he shaft? So maybe if it's something that she does, maybe that would be a reason why she has to be a gdola, because you can't shaft. Ayin, famous shmuz, Reb Chaim, Reb Ochonon, that chalitza is not something that anybody shafts. The maisa is done, and the Torah shafts the chalois, chalitza. So therefore, that's not an issue of concern, the age of not being able to make a chalois. Okay, that's just a little bit lumdus we threw. Komokim sheyesh tkiyo, ein havdolo. In the Beis HaMikdash and elsewhere, the minig was that they would blow tkiyas, they would blow three chalois, to be mafresh es ha'om mimelocha. This is sugyas in Shabbos. They blew actually six tkiyas, Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, Samach l'knis sayoy. Mishas mincha gdoilo, mincha ktana rather, which is 2.5 hours before Shkia's Akama, they blew 3 koilois. And then Samach Tashkia, where it was mamish the end of the time to do malacha, they blew another 3 koilois, a tkia, through an tkia, to say that everybody should put down whatever kelim they have, and there's an issa malacha. So there's tkia, hafrosha me havdala, me malacha, and there's havdala. Havdala is when the kiddush of Shabbos and Yom Tov is over, then one makes havdala to be mafrish ben kodesh l'chol. What is the Mishnah saying? Yom Tov shechaliyo is be'erev Shabbos, toikin v'loy mavdilin. Yom Tov, that's chal on Friday, so they had to stop the amim doing malach. It's Friday afternoon. You can't even put the food up, because even though on Friday you can do malach for Shabbos, malach is ha'chol Yom Tov, ha'chol nefesh that is, but not on Shabbos. So therefore, toikin, and there's no havdolah between Yom Tov and Shabbos. We never make havdolah on Yom Tov going to Shabbos because you're not mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. It's ben kodesh l'kodesh. We make havdolah ben kodesh l'kodesh when it's Shabbos, which is a greater kedusha going into Yom Tov. Yom Tov, that's on Matzah Shabbos, we are mavdil. So ben Matzah Shabbos, mavdilin v'loy toikin. You don't need to blow because the fakeret, they didn't do malacha till now. And other rabbi, you need havdolah. Ketzed mavdilin, like we just said, our minig is hamavdil ben kodesh l'kodesh. Reb Doisa Omer ben kodesh chomer l'kodesh hakal. He called it a more kedusha, a lesser kedusha. We don't pass them that way. Rav is masbir that the Tanakham holds it's a zilzal in Yom Tov to call it kodesh hakal. Call it ben kodesh l'kodesh. The beginning of the bracha, by the way, is the same as regular avdol. Hamavdil ben kodesh l'kodesh ben other kodesh nesuah lo'amim. So we speak out all different avdolos in the Bria. Only at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem, Amavdu Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, or Amavdu Ben Kodesh Komer, L'Kodesh Hakam.